Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and happy Thursday, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in to Loretta and Tamari Live on this beautiful Thursday, October 18th, 2012. Got to encourage everyone that's in Tennessee that's listening to my voice. Don't forget, it is early voting season, so go out and make your voice count by voting. I will continue to do that until early voting is no longer early voting, and then we'll start talking about November 6th. And, of course, your voting is very private. I don't tell people who I vote for, so you don't have to tell anyone. Just go vote, everybody. But we have a really special show today. Gear Ness has been on our show, I think it was last year, and his show is so inspirational, so encouraging and motivational. Just hearing his story, how he got started, and how he was so creative in making his dream come true. And the biggest thing or biggest support behind him, and he tells everybody all over the world, is his mom. So we'll hear that story. Everybody, welcome to Loretta McNary Live, the fabulous fragrance designer himself, Gear Ness. Hi, Gear.
Hey, how are you, Loretta?
You know what? I can listen to you say my name all day long. You actually say it correctly.
That's when you had a pause and said, whoa.
I know. Every time I hear you say it, it just makes me, you know, just sit there and say, wow, he gets it.
Well, it should pronounce like that, Loretta. Beautiful
say?
Name. I say you have such a beautiful name. It's not just Lorena, it's Loretta, you know. Really pronounce it the right
way. Exactly. Oh, I'm still trying to figure out how we can get you to Memphis. I know we don't have a Nordstrom here, but you've got to come to Memphis so people can see you and hear your story, because it's one made for a movie. I mean, you wouldn't believe it unless somebody told you how it happened, and I want you to tell everybody now. So I don't want to take any time. Just, you know, I know you can't tell the whole story in like 25 minutes, but because I want to talk about your fragrance and
where it's
located and all that good stuff. But your story is amazing.
I think your listener will like, as you said, the story of how I started my business, because I'm sure a lot of your listeners have a dream. They want to do something maybe different. They want to change their career. And, you know, so I can tell at least a story how I started, so people can get new ideas if they want to do something. So, okay, so this is what happened. What happened was I was in Los Angeles going to school back home in Norway and also in Spain. I was a tour guide. I worked in entertainment business. I did a couple of small, you know, TV shows and so forth. So I wanted to learn more about the craft, so I ended up in Los Angeles. And living in L.A., I had no money. Of course, everybody's broke in the beginning. You know, you just have to do what you have to do. So I got a job as a fragrance model. And most of you probably don't know what that is. A fragrance model is somebody that's in the store spraying people when you walk in, people you try to avoid, you know. I was one of those people.
Yeah, we probably don't call them models. I think we just refer to them as salespeople. But I like your term better, a fragrance model.
Yeah, you know, it's just a term, exactly. Or call them a sprayer, So I was one of those people, and I got this job from a friend of mine in class, and he said to me, "Gear, can you do me a favor? This weekend I'm going out of town. Can you go down and work for me?" I said, "But I don't know anything about perfumes." And he said, "Who cares? You just go in and spray people. That's your job." So I thought he meant spraying everybody walks into the store, you know. So I go into this store in Los Angeles, and I have my perfume bottle there. I worked for another company at that time, of course, and I started to spray people coming in, and a manager came up to me after 3 minutes, and she said, "You can't do this. You can't just spray people." I say, "Well, that's what I was told." And she goes, "I don't think this is for you." So I got fired after like 5 minutes. I was fired. So
because you were literally spraying everybody that came in, not asking.
Yeah, exactly. They were running around me and said, "Oh my God, get away from this crazy blonde guy." It was pretty hysterical. So then, Loretta, I got a job in another department store, and I started to learn, you know, how to do this now. So I started to talk to people, and everybody that was talking to me asked me where I was from. So I said, Norway. And they say to me, "Doesn't Norway have their own fragrance?" Or, you know, and I find out that we never had really our own fragrance, you know, our own scent from Norway. So one day I was invited to this big meeting or a show, I should say, with a new fragrance, the fragrance designer, and her entourage of people, and they could have a nice dinner. And at that function, there was a perfumer from France. He was a retired perfumer. and he works for some of the biggest perfume houses in the world. And so I tried to talk to him, and I said to him, how do you create your own fragrance? And he would say to me, well, he said it in a French accent, of course, the first thing you need to do is to find the ingredients that you like, and then you smell, and then you find out, and you come to me, we talk, and all that. He was such a sweet, wonderful person. So we got really connected, and I was back in Norway. So what I did, I took with me, you know, herbs and plants, you know, things that I grew up with in Norway. And then when he told me to find ingredients that I liked, and really, the first thing that came to my mind was my mom in my childhood, because every, you know, I'm in the summer, in the winter, spring, fall, we always was outside in the mountains. She took me everywhere, and I loved the scent up there, and I could separate flowers. I was very good with nose. I mean, I knew what the smell was, what kind of roses and all that. So I kind of grew up with that, you know. So I wanted ingredients that remind me about that, you know, to take with me to him. So we did that, and then we started to work together to create the scent. Just for the friend in the beginning, I didn't have any money to do any research, so I did everything myself, and he just thought it was fun to help me. So while I was working for all the other perfume company and starting to learn more and more, I developed my own. So every time we come up with a blend of a fragrance, I would walk on the street and ask people what they thought about the scent without telling them that I was behind it. And in that way, you get the honest truth, you know, what people really think. And while I was working for the other fragrances, I gave out samples on my own. I said, this is coming out soon, what do you think? And so after like 4 years, I think, total 4 years, the last ingredients we put into it was pure lavender extract. And lavender has such a soothing, clean scent into it. So that was the last scent. And after we did that, people that I stopped become, oh, my God, it smells good. What is this? Oh, my God. You know, the response I got was unbelievable. So I said, this is the fragrance I'm going to go with. But I needed a name. So I copied my mom's signature without her knowing it. And I still screened her name on a bottle, and I gave it to her for Mother's Day. So Lila is the name of the fragrance of my mom. So, you know, since you put your name on the bottle of your mom, you've got to take really good care of it. And so I had to borrow money from a friend of mine, maxed out my credit card, and I produced 1,000 bottles, which is nothing today. But that's, and all those bottles, Loretta, was in my bedroom, my apartment, actually. My apartment wasn't my bedroom. I had everything in the wrong side in LA, and I had no money to buy anything after this. So I started to sell my own clothes in garage sale and everything to make rent. And I called up department stores, and nobody called me back. And finally, I got connected with Nordstrom, you know. And for me, Nordstrom was like the store, and it still is. I mean, the service, everything about Nordstrom is wonderful. They're very into their unique things. And just, and they have things that no one else has. So for me to have a meeting with them, I was so excited. And I had met the buyer before working as a fragrance model, you know. So I got a few minutes with her, and she smelled it and said, dear, you have a fantastic fragrance, but I got to be honest with you. You have no name recognition, or you have no money for advertisement, and this is harder than show business. So there is nothing I can do with it, but you can try so and so. And I said, what about if you try in one store, I said, and see how much I sell? And she goes, we don't do that, you know. And I never gave up. So finally said, okay, you can get into this one store in Beverly Hills. And she's going to take in 100 bottles. And if I don't sell a lot in the first 3 months, I had to take them all back, you know. So I had 3 months to show them at least that I will sell some. So I knew I had only one shot. So what I did, I went to a garage sale because I had everything in my mind now. I had to be very smart. I have one shot. This is the day before Mother's Day. I will get it in there. So I walked to this, got to this garage sale and bought a suit for $5. And at the garage sale, there was a red carpet laying there. So I asked the guy, can I have that too? So he said, sure, you know. I think I pay a quarter for it or something. I can't remember. But it was like, I got the red carpet and my suit. I called up a friend of mine in class that was a photographer. And I said, John, can you come down and take a picture of me and just pretend that I'm a big star when I'm going to do my fragrance gig at Nordstrom? And he goes, dear, I would love to, but I have no film in my camera. And I said, nobody, who cares? Nobody knows. Just come down and flash and pretend I'm a big star. That's all you need to do. I said, okay. And then I got two friends
of mine. Okay, dear, where did that plan come to you? Was the plan to do all of this come? Was it when you decided, okay,
It came to my mind. Okay, Loretta, it came to my mind when I walked out of Nordstrom and I started to shake. You know, I was sweating. I said, oh, my God, you know, Nordstrom, what can I do to make this happen? And I started to think, okay, if I go to the day before Mother's Day, people will be there shopping, you know, for their mother, from, you know, for their sister, somebody they love. And I said, I got to be creative and stand out from the rest of the crowd, because there are going to be so many people there with beautiful setup with flowers and, you know, bouquet and all these beautiful people there. And I will be lost in the shuffle. I need to stand out to, you know, people come to me and not to the other big guys. So I said, what can I do? And then I was thinking, okay, if somebody's there with a camera, you know, a flashing, and the blonde guy with a suit, you know, that will draw them attention, come over there. So I thought about all those things when I was going back to my apartment. I said, okay, this is it. So then I come up with the idea of doing all that, you know, to like, okay, because I'm very creative, but I'm a little crazy when it comes to podcasting. You know, and to me, Loretta, I knew in my mind I had the best product. If people buy it, they will be so lucky. That was in my mind. I didn't think that I have any competition whatsoever, you know, and for me, it was number one. So, but I just knew that I need to get them to me. And how do I do that? That's the attention. And think outside the box. I didn't want to just stay there behind a little counter thing and like, no, make it big. Make it like you are it, you know, and think bigger than it is and it will become. And that's how my philosophy has been the whole time with my business. You know,
I love
think
that.
Big
I love it.
And shoot and have a goal, you know,
here,
right?
You said, then it is and it will become. That's profound. You don't wait until it becomes big to start thinking that it will become big. Okay, I love it.
Right.
Think big at start, and it will become big.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
And thinking it, you got to act it and look it, too. And you had to go get a $5 suit to make it look like you had a great suit. Oh, wow.
And I had a $5 suit, exactly.
It was like my first time. Yeah, okay, so go on. Okay, so.
Okay, so, no, so. So what happened then, when I, you know, go into the store, I set up, you know, my red carpet in front of me. I had my suit on. Behind me was all of my bottles stacked up, and I had picture of myself, you know, because I did the acting, so I had my headshot, you know, behind there, kind of like looking like, wow. And then the photographer come in, and he was there, and then I had two friends that was going to come in right after it opens to like, oh, my God, there he is. Look at, you know, like pretend that, oh, my God, they're seeing me in Europe and do the whole thing. So I had everything set up, and then the store opened, and the people, you know, all the other, of course, line had beautiful setup with flowers and bouquets and huge posters of, you know, famous people that, you know, that attached to their line,
that
whatever.
Wear their cologne, yeah.
Yeah, or, you know, they have a big page, you know, whatever. So, and I only had myself, so I had to make myself bigger than all these people, you know, and then some. So they were talking about flashing. I was standing there with my blonde hair and my suit, you know, and smiling, and people starting to come up because, you know, in Beverly Hills or in anywhere, the people like, what's going on over there? We had to come and see who is this person, you know? So all of a sudden, I had a line of people, and people starting to, you know, they smell my fragrance, and they like it, they starting to buy it for Mother's Day, and I was like, staying there, and hi, how are you? And the photographer goes, hold on a second, Mr. Ness, can you look over here? No, I just need this for a magazine in Europe. And I smiled, hey, it's smiling, click. And then, you know, and I said, oh, I want you in my picture, too. So grab one of the people that are in line taking a picture of me, and it all felt like they were part of this thing. And in the middle of the line, this one person, and I always tell the story because I think it was too funny how you think about this woman come up to me with huge diamond on her finger. She can barely lift her hands up to my shoulder. Mm. She looks straight in my eye, and she goes, darling, I love that suit. That must be from Europe. You know, and really like, and I was smiling, and I didn't say anything like, yes. I was just smiling and said, you have class. You have class, she said to me. And I said, really? I said to myself, she knew that I bought this a few blocks away in the garage sale for $5. And I could even afford
to. And she trusted she probably would have it, yeah.
Right. Maybe I even bought it in her house in the garage sale. I don't know. But I couldn't even afford to dry clean it, Loretta. You know, it wasn't even dry clean, and I felt something was crawling behind underneath my, you know, in my shirt itself. I'm like, oh my God, I was staying there smiling, and then what happened in I would say in an hour, I have sold out all the bottles, and I started to get people on a waiting list, and I walked out of Nordstrom, and the guy, a homeless person, was outside in his box, so dollar bills and quarters, what have you. And he goes, excuse me, sir, do you have some change? And I look at him and said, you know what? You have much more money than I have. And he kind of looked mad and said, yeah, you're so full of it. You know, because when you go out, and that's what people see. You know, I mean, they see you one thing, but they don't know really what's behind it. And I really didn't have any money when I walked out of Nordstrom that time. But it's interesting to see how people really, if you believe you have it, and you will have it. I mean, you just have to believe in it. And I love it. So after that, I sold out. Nordstrom called me the next Monday, and they asked if something is wrong. I said, no, I didn't sell out. And then they invited me to all the stores, and then that's how I started my business. And, you know, and it's interesting for me, and it's fun for me to see that you can make it happen. And now I have, you know, I got invited to the Grammy Awards for my fragrance. I did a special bottle for all the stars at the Grammys. I've been doing a lot of stuff after that. But it's just, I believe when I first started Loretta that this is it. You know, people were lucky. And I think when you're starting anything, you just have to believe in it. When you first have to figure out what you want and what to do, and this is it, that's it. Don't get sidetracked and don't let negativity be around you, you know, people that always complain and I mean, I've seen it for myself, though. It's so important to have somebody that really likes what they do and like you, not get jealous and, I mean, all those things. And just believe in what you do and not get driven just by money. I never thought about making any, you know, money on this. Like, of course, you want to make money to pay your rent, but not like, oh, my God, I'm going to be a millionaire doing this. I was doing it because I wanted to. I thought it was fun to do something different and just doing it, you know. And I never thought about creating a fragrance when I came to L.A. or you know, but it just happened. And you go with what God gives you because it's all there in front of you, but you just have to grab it. And you have to see.
Right, it was like he was preparing you from when you were a little boy, how your mom would take you to the mountainside and you guys would pick the wildflowers and you'd go so often so you knew which ones you liked. And then when your friend could not make it that day, he said, hey, can you go to the and spray people? Not literally spray people, but yeah. And then how all that, if once you look back on it, it makes more sense about your life and how it evolved. And I like that you said God does, he does that for everybody. So we all have something in us, a gift, that can potentially make money for us. And we just need to do some soul searching. So what year was that year when you did the
So this was 15 years ago, I believe, 14 years ago, right before, you know, before cell phone started and before, you know, you just have your camera on your iPhone, whatever, you know what I mean? That's why this guy didn't have any film in his camera, you know, because it was before they all started, you know, so.
Yeah, yeah. I just love that story. It's so amazing.
In those years, you know, building it up afterwards, I have been lucky enough to, you know, you made money, but also giving back, you know, I've been part of a lot of different organizations, you know, and you can give back. I was in, you know, in Chicago, was a week ago, with my dear friend Beatrice Davis, and
she's listening,
she is just so fantastic. I just love that girl, and I feel like it's, you know, my sister. But she had arranged so we can go to visit a place called Little Angel, and that is a place for, you know, severe disability, you know, especially kids from 10 to 20, most of them, some was a little older, and they had a brain from 6 months to a year. That was what the brain, you know, and it stops after that. But just go in there and give them hand massages and just the connection you have, and you can feel that they are enjoying it, and they're like, oh, you know, and that you can feel even if they can't talk, you know, you feel that they're having a good time, and you can give back something, you know, and those things, that little thing we can do for other people, and we don't talk about money, we talk about being there and do something or visit or talk to people that doesn't get all that, you know, from us, and it's a wonderful thing, and I'm so thankful that, you know, I have been able to do that with a lot of different things, with cancer organizations and whatever it is, but you can give back, and you need the little, you know, things you need, and then you get back so much more. You get even back more than you give, really. You know what I mean? Because after that, Beatrice and I was talking about that. Oh, my God, it was just an amazing experience, you know, and we're going to do more of those things, but it's just wonderful to be able to do all this. It was really, really a fabulous experience, and that's why I'm so thankful for doing what I do now, and I can give back and trying to even tell people how to start their own business if they believe in themselves and what they can do and trying to help people to, you know, so we all can enjoy ourselves and see what's out there in the world.
Absolutely, and I love that you say that because you get to do a lot of things because your fragrances fragrances are at Nordstrom's. They're at a lot of the upscale boutiques and at the Walt Disney theme park and also on the Walt Disney cruise lines. So that gives you a really big, and people see that glamour side. But the thing that I love about you, and that's why I love following you and hearing your story and talking to you, because you are a giver. You have a heart that is big as any country, because you are always giving back.
You're so
you know? No, seriously. Beatrice keeps me informed about the things that you're doing, and she will say, I saw how dear that you got out of it as much as those young people did that you were helping. The fact that you were giving back, and the fact that you had that one-on-one touch with them to give them the hand massages, and how you reference your mother in everything you do. You give her all the credit for who you are and the man you become and how you love on her and, you know, those values that she taught you. You're incredible, and that's why how I knew there was going to be a Nordstrom 199 miles from me in Nashville was because you were going to be at the Grand Opening, and that's how we met last year. So
yes, exactly. You're so sweet. Yeah, I know. You're so sweet.
Thank you. I wanted to be there so bad.
That's so sweet, Loretta. And also, if some of you listed wanted to follow me, I'm going to do, you know, blog and everything. I have a website, too. It's laila.com. And I'm redoing, so I'm going to have a blog coming out soon and Facebook, on my Facebook and Twitter, so people can follow me around, you know, and maybe if I'm in your neighborhood.
I
traveled last year.
To find out where you are, 285 days, and they said, he cut his schedule back. I said, he cut it back to what? To 285 days. I'm like, wow, whoa.
People say, where do you live? I said, I live in a suitcase in a hotel, but I love what I do. And I have a lot of friends, and friends become family, you know, Loretta, so...
Thank
and
you.
That's what's wonderful about this. So I'm really blessed, and I love what I'm doing, and I love people, so it's easy for me.
And I know you've done a lot of media, too, and I went on your, on the Layla, with Lila, but it's spelled, like we say in the U.S., Layla, laila.com. That's the website, and you should go. There is a beautiful website. I mean, the pictures are so, not only your pictures, but, of course, the fragrance bottle. And you also have a book out, and you have a handbag. Too.
Yeah, I have a new handbag for this holiday season, and I have a flag bag, Norwegian flag bag. I have lotion for dry skin, shower gel, and I have in the spring, in May, I'm coming out with a whole new skincare line called Skin of Norway that I also will launch in Epcot at the Norway Pavilion in Disney World, and we have it online as well. So it's going to be, Paris, Norway.
Favorite radio and TV talk show host.
I have to invite my beautiful Loretta to come. I love it.
I got to be there to see that release, but I'm telling you, and I have had the beautiful opportunity to smell and use your fragrance, and I absolutely love it. Love it, love it, love it.
Thank
and
you so much, Loretta.
You just keep doing it. It is. It's very crisp. It's clean. It's not too... you know, perfumey that just overtakes you is just a really crisp, clean, and those are the fragrances I go for. And so I'm like, what are you wearing? I'm like, this is just my love for my friend here.
I love it. Oh, you're so sweet.
Yes, because I know they put them in, you know, the gift bags at all these award shows, and you're doing so well, and then to still know that you still have a part of some passion and you give back to several charitable foundations, that's huge for me. Because, you know, you make the money, and then the fact that you give back, and you give to, like when you went to the place in Chicago for those children, and these are children, I wouldn't say the least of us, but they are, like you said, they were from 10 to 20, but people have to remember that their brains are that of like a 6-month-old. So
right, right.
You look at an adult, and you think, you know, that they're an adult, but actually their minds, children, and you got a chance to give them a hand massage, which I know as a child, you know, there's nothing more pleasing than touch for them, you know, in a nice, kind way. So I just commend you for that. I wish we could get you here too. We have some really fantastic children's hospitals here as well, Love Honors, and also, of course, the world-known St. Jude. I could see that really being a great hit here locally in this as well. So.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to talk to Beatrice about that.
Yes, exactly.
Make that happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
no,
what's next
great.
For you? You're just doing so much. I don't know how you can fit anything else in your busy schedule, but
And then I'm trying to work out in between, you know. So it's also important to me to stay in shape and focus because, you know, when you take care of your body too, you know, it's easier to do this because you know how it is when you travel that many days a year. It's hard to really stay on a diet or what have you. But I have learned how to, you know, I'm going to tell you a secret, Loretta. If you have listeners that say, oh, my God, it's so hard, you know, when I travel and stay in shape, you know what you do? You never look at the menu. You never look at the menu. You order the same thing every day. In the morning, I do egg whites, spinach, broccoli, tomato with some fruit. And if I go to a restaurant, I don't open the restaurant. I say, oh, maybe I want some pancakes. Maybe I want, you know, no. You just order the same thing. And in that way, it's easy to maintain. You don't have to really think, you know, because when you start, when your brain starts to think and see things, it wants, you know, oh, my God, you know, this and that. So
yes.
You just stay focused and doing it. And it's really easier, you know, especially when you travel a lot, to stay in a diet, you know, the same thing every day.
Right. And most hotels have, you know, like the fitness gyms or a walking trail or a swimming pool, too. But, you know, usually when we travel, we are booked so tight, it's kind of hard, and this is my excuse. I just don't have time. By the time I get to my room, I'm just, you know, really, really tired. But I agree with you. Fitness and healthy nutrition are key to maintaining a schedule that we have, especially when you want to live a successful life, then it's going to take that. So
yeah.
Are you going to do any, like, a book on health and fitness or travel?
Yeah, I've been working on it a little bit, but I've been so busy and over all those things. But I wanted to write a book on how I have been traveling in the same shape and what I've been doing, you know, to be able to do all this traveling and still take care of myself. And I think
it still looks so gorgeously handsome. You can say it.
You're so sweet. I try my best. That's all we can do, Loretta, right?
Yes, yes. I mean, our best is good enough. But we cannot see ourselves and say that's good enough. It has to be your absolute best each day.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But it just, you know, and I think it's important too that, you know, you surround yourself with people you like and not just, you know, do things because you think you have to, because you want to. And you know, and I just see so many people have been very miserable because the life is not this and they hang out with the wrong people and they change it. You know, there's never too late to change anything. You know, it's not like, you know, because you, I don't know, 40 or 50 or 60, whatever it is, that you can do anything else. That's, you know, I haven't seen people in their 50s and 60s changing their career and boom, you know, everything is wonderful from miserable, and it's just to do it. It's just doing it. Believe in it and do it. There's no excuse for I'm this and I'm sorry. To me, those excuses that I'm too old, I'm too this and too that doesn't work for me. You know, I would never hear that. But it's not true. No excuses. Thank you.
I know. I can't stand it either. Please do not give me another excuse of why you're not doing this, and this is the fifth year we've been having this conversation. I just refuse to keep having the conversations with those people anymore. I just change the subject. You're not going to do it. You haven't done it all the time. You know, that, of course, makes them angry, and then, of course, they want to move on at the end. But, like, you're not going to do it. Let's not talk about it.
Yeah, exactly.
You're right. You're too old. You're too old. You're too this. You don't have that. Yeah, don't do it. And then, you know, that's that reverse psychology to get them to move because I'm like you. I cannot stand excuses. Oh, my goodness. Please, I don't want to hear it.
We all excuse. We all have a bad day, but, you know, you have to tell everybody everything. You have a headache or something, or poor me. Oh, I have a headache. Oh, you know, really? You know? Yeah. So there are things that are more important, you know. So focus on the good things you do in life and not the negative things, and you will be more happy. That's my thing, you know. I always focus on the good things.
And you are a living example of it, dear. You live it every day. You live it absolutely every day because you didn't even get a chance to really talk about how bad it was living in L.A. before all this happened. Because I understand it was rough. You told me you had to go to the Gartsville to get a suit. But I appreciate your time. I know you're super, super busy, and our time is up, and you're so awesome. I'm always so energized after I talk to you because you inspire me. Your story.
Thank you, Loretta. And it was wonderful. Thank you. It was wonderful hearing your voice again. Beautiful Loretta. And we'll talk soon again, I'm sure.
All right, Gear. Thanks so much. And thank everybody for listening to Loretta McNary Live. And always, think positive, dream big dreams, help someone along the way, and we'll see you soon. Goodbye, everybody. Enjoy your day.